Well, hey, good morning. My name is Ben. I'm one of the pastors here, and woo, we made it. Final sermon of 2025. How many of you guys are excited that Christmas is over? Anybody? Okay, like, you can call me Scrooge. It's fine. I'm there with you. I love Christmas. I mean, I do. I love the story of Christmas. I love getting to celebrate it together with family. I love, you know, digging deep into, you know, the whole story and the songs and all of those things that go into it. But man, I'm also very glad that it's over for this year. And so, yeah, it's okay. You can call me Scrooge. I still love baby Jesus. But I'm glad that it's over. You know, as we move into the new year, it's always an exciting time. It's a time for us, you know, to be able to look back maybe upon the year that we've experienced. And, you know, as I was thinking about 2025 and some highlights from 2025, I got to go to Greece this last year with a group from our church. That was a big highlight. That was a really incredible time. But it's also a time for us to be able to look forward, right? And to think about the new year and plans that we have for this next year and, you know, exciting things that are going to happen. And so I know, like, even for this next year, Josiah, our oldest, is graduating, and so that's a significant, you know, kind of makes this next year feel a little bit different and more significant, and so I'm excited about that as well. But, you know, as we go into the new year, it's often time for us to look back, look forward, but rarely do we take time for that wise pause, that time, you know, for us to be able to look up and to ask God, what is it that you want from me in this next year? And we rarely take that stop, you know, to really do that. And, you know, when we don't do that, when we just kind of run into things, what often happens is that we don't look down and we step into mud and or what may not be mud. And so this morning, that's kind of what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what does it look like for us to make the next right step for us as we move into this next year. And the good news is that the Bible has a lot to say about that, has a lot to say about how we should walk and how we should walk wisely. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, if you do have your Bibles with you, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. You can go ahead and turn there. You know, Ephesians was a book that was written by the Apostle Paul. Paul was just a man. He was a man that had an interaction. He had a life that was completely changed by Jesus. And when that happened, then he wrote letters to this city in Ephesus. And Ephesus was a city that was much like ours. You know, it was a city that was being pulled by the culture in a lot of different ways. And they were just trying to figure it out. You know, the church there, as he was writing to them, they were just trying to figure out, how do I live life? How do I do the things that I know that I should be doing? How do I raise my family? How do I get ahead in work? How do I act wisely? How do I do things in a wise way? And so God had a lot to say to them, and I think that it applies to us today as well. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to start with. It says this, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." See, this is the first lesson that Scripture teaches us. Wisdom watches where it walks. Wisdom watches where it walks. You know, I remember when Josiah was little, when he was just a year old, and he was starting to learn how to walk. And, you know, when your kids are little, you guys, most of you guys know this, like you kind of hover over them. Maybe you hold on to their fingers or their hands as they're trying to make those first steps. And you clear out everything from the path so that they don't trip over anything. You just want them to be able to make those careful few steps and not fall. And Josiah, I remember when he was 1 year old, it was his 1 year birthday. My mom had come in from out of town and she got him this, it was kind of like a little scooter thing that he could ride on, but it also had handles. It popped up. And so Josiah, as he was starting to learn to walk, anybody know these things? You remember those? Like as he's learning to walk, he would like hold on to the handles and just kind of shuffle his feet and do that thing. And on his first birthday, we're all so excited about it. We're, you know, like taking pictures of him with his little scooter thing. And all of a sudden, Josiah like flips over the scooter onto the ground and busts his chin. So his first birthday, we got to go experience the emergency room in Shawnee, and that was exciting for us. And, you know, got pictures of his first birthday as he was learning how to walk not so wisely. See, Josiah, he was walking boldly, but he wasn't walking wisely. And that's what wisdom does. Wisdom watches where it steps. It's that idea of being careful where it is that you walk. And how do we do that? You know, the truth is that in order for us to do that, we have to be careful. We have to be mindful. Have you ever felt like you've wandered into a minefield? Now, not maybe like a literal minefield, maybe a minefield like this. Like many of us have had this experience. You know, you go into a backyard maybe you're not familiar with, you've got some friends over, or you go to somebody's house, and you wander into a backyard, and then you realize, no, I have actually entered into a minefield. Sometimes our backyard feels a little bit like that. You know, I remember several years ago, I was doing some training for missions, you know, just kind of like learning how to lead teams overseas and even some places that are pretty hostile. And so we were doing security training, and I went out to Colorado, and this team came in, and they were teaching us all about how to be safe on the mission field. And one of the trainings that they did was they taught us how to get out of a minefield. Okay, do any of you guys know how you get out of a minefield? Very carefully. You get out of a minefield very carefully. So they were showing us, here are some of the signs. You know, that was really one of the first things that they taught us, was this is the sign that you are actually going into a minefield. Nobody wants to go into a minefield. And so they taught us there's a universal sign, and it's kind of this triangle with a crossbones and that lays over it. And they said, you know, if you see that sign, you don't want to go into those places. You know, the reality is sometimes we run into the minefield of life and we're completely unaware of the signs. Sometimes we see the signs and we just completely ignore them. But the truth is, God has given us warning signs. He's given us those warning signs to show us what it looks like for us to walk wisely. It says in verse 15, to look carefully. You know, some of that looking carefully may just be the hindsight 2020 vision that we're given of looking in our past, right? Looking back and going, man, not going to do that again. That wasn't wise. Sometimes it's looking at the lives of other people around us, people that are walking wisely, and we're able to go, okay, that's a wise person. I want to follow them. Sometimes it's that looking at somebody and recognizing that their life, they're wasting, that they're not living it wisely, and I don't want to be like that. You know, the great thing is God hasn't given us life just to go it alone, but he's given us himself. He's given us his Holy Spirit as our guide for what's ahead. In Psalm 32:8, it says this. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And isn't that encouraging? The God of the universe says that he will instruct us, teach us, and counsel us with his eye upon us. He's watching us. He's watching those steps that we're making. He's helping us. He wants to teach us what are the right things that we should do. And the reality is we can trust him in that because he knows what the right steps are. He knows the right steps to take. Proverbs 16:9 says this. It says, we make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. See, it's easy for us to run into the new year and to get ahead of God because we don't stop, take that wise pause and ask him, what is it that he wants from us? So this morning we're going to do this. It's going to be a little bit weird, but I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity to just ask God, what is the thing that you want from me? What is the next right step that you want from me in 2026? So we're going to take a few seconds. And I want to invite you, close your eyes and ask God, what is the next right step that you have for me to take in 2026? Father, I pray that you would give us the faith and the strength to take those steps. See, to be wise, we have to watch where we're stepping. But then Paul encourages us in verse 16. He says, making the best use of time because the days are evil. You know, the New Living Translation, it actually says a little bit different. I love this. It says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Did you hear that? Make the most of every opportunity. I love that translation because that's exactly what time is, right? It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to make a difference, for something to matter. Because here's the truth. Wisdom makes moments matter. Wisdom makes moments matter. I remember when I was a teenager, most of your guys' age, I just wanted to be somebody that made a difference. I wanted my life to count. I wanted it to be something that was significant and that made a difference. And then, you know, as I've gotten older, now I'm 45, I'm you know, I don't know if I'm in the middle of my midlife crisis now or not, but, you know, I look back upon my life and I'm like, okay, I want to finish well. Like, I've made some differences in my life, but I want to continue that. I want to make a difference as I continue in life. I don't know, maybe when I'm older, you know, when I'm maybe like Chris White's age, you know, hopefully I'll be able to look back and think about, you know, my life and go, I finished well. I took advantage of the opportunities, the moments that I had in life. You know, God's concept of time is different than ours. Most of us know that. I mean, it's kind of what makes God who he is, right? I mean, he's outside of time. He's not bound by time in the same way that we are. And I've got this theory that, now don't hold me to this. I don't know if this like theologically really holds up or not, but I've got this theory that as we get older, that we kind of come more in line of what it's like to experience time like God. I mean, think about it. When we're little, like, time passes so slowly, right? It was like, oh my gosh, are we there yet, right? I mean, anybody? And, you know, it goes by so slowly. But as we get older, it's just like, man, you blink and a year is gone, right? It's like somebody hit the skip button on your remote and it just like skipped ahead a whole year. Well, I think that that's true about God. I mean, that his concept of time is just, it's different. It's unlike what we experience. In fact, 2 Peter, it says this about it. It says, but you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. Anybody else confused by that? I mean, it's just, we can't understand it. We can't fathom that. God's concept of time is completely different. And to be honest, it's frustrating. Like, for some of us, we just want time to speed up, right? Like, we just want to get through it. Maybe some of you, like teenagers, you're like, I just want to get through school, right? Some of us want time to slow down. You know, some of us just want, like, things to slow down. It's going too fast. You know, the truth is, this has been going on throughout all of history. And it says in the remainder of that passage in 2 Peter, he was talking to a people that they were anxious for Jesus to come back. They were like, okay, hurry up, Jesus, would you please come back? In 2 Peter 3, 9, and 10, it says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. You see, God, he's the master of the slow roll. He's never late. He's never early. He's always right on time. And you see, Jesus is the perfect picture of this. I mean, if you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was never in a hurry. He was always right on time. He was always in the moment, making a difference in somebody's life. He was right there in the moment, making the moments count. He gives us that perfect example. And it's still true today. You know, I mean, he still patiently waits for us. He's still patient for those who have yet to turn their lives over to him. For those that are still living foolish lives, he's still patiently waiting. But the reality is, the truth is, there will come a day where time will run out. There will come a day where, just like a thief that comes at night, it'll be stolen away. And the wisest thing I can encourage you today is, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, today is the day to do that. You know, honestly, like, this message has been extremely convicting for me as I prepared for it. Even this last week, you know, as we were home and celebrating Christmas and being with family and just, you know, being able to relax and stay home. And this was convicting for me to think about, how is it that I use my time? How is it that I use the moments that God has given me? You know, many of you guys have heard about doom scrolling. It kind of happened during COVID where, you know, people would get on their phone and they, you know, they'd start like scrolling through these videos or news articles or whatever it may be about all the horrible things that are going on in the world. And you just go down that rabbit hole and you get sucked into it. How many of you guys have heard of zombie scrolling? Zombie scrolling, anybody? So zombie scrolling is this new thing. It's basically like where you don't even care what it is. You know, it doesn't even matter. It can be like videos of cats. You don't even care. But you're just sitting there and you're scrolling mindlessly for hours in this trance-like state. And it leads to mental fatigue. They've done research on it. It leads to mental fatigue and it leads to, you know, disconnecting from other people. And it's all fed by this dopamine addiction that we get this bump every time that we scroll, that we're getting something new. I have to be honest, I'm guilty of it. Like, my kids are like, yeah, they're shaking their head. You know, like, it's so easy to get sucked into. And maybe you don't get sucked into zombie scrolling, but my question is, what is it? What is it that wastes your time? What are those things that you get caught up in, the habits that you get caught up in that waste those moments, those opportunities that God has given you? Maybe it's hours of binge watching on Netflix. Maybe it's packing your schedule to where it's so full and you don't have time for anybody else, let alone have time for God. Maybe it's hobbies that take up all of your time and keep you from the relationships that God's put in your life. In Psalms 90, verse 12, it says this. It says, "So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." See, that's what wisdom is. It's not wasting your moments, but it's using them for God's purpose. So how do we do that? Well, Paul continues in Ephesians verse 17, and he says, "Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." He says, don't be foolish. Now, this is a different word than what he used in verse 15. In verse 15, he says, don't be unwise. Here he says, don't be foolish. It's a stronger word. It's a word that he was trying to help them understand the difference between acting foolish and acting unwise. You see, being unwise is not knowing better. Being foolish is knowing better and choosing not to do it. And the Bible's clear about this. It says in James chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "Anyone then who does not know the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, sins." So in Ephesians, where Paul is saying to them, understand the will of the Lord, he's not saying that you need to crack some like secret code, that you've got to like figure out the cipher, that you've got to, you know, figure out, okay, what is God's will for me for this next 10 years of my life or for this next year of my life? He's not saying that you've got to figure out something that is a mystery. He's saying, don't ignore what God has already made clear to you. He says, start acting out on what you already know. Because wisdom, this is the truth, wisdom is knowledge in action. And here's the good news, God hasn't been vague. He hasn't been vague in this. He's given us his word. He's given us Jesus as the perfect example. He's given us his spirit as our guide to live and to walk with. And he's given us the church. He's given us each other to walk alongside and to be encouraged and helped in that. Many of you guys may know the Dickey family. The Dickeys have been around Central for several years. And they served as on Nehemiah teams, which was kind of like a summer program. And then they came back and worked with the International Mission Board in the Philippines for 2 years as journeymen. And they're a family that, you know, over this last year as your missions pastor, it's been exciting for me because I've got to walk alongside them as they've been making steps to go to the mission field. So, you know, they served for that 2 years, came back, Trey started seminary, and, you know, they went through that whole process, and they were right on the edge of being able to go. And at the beginning of this last year, they came to us, and Trey had been experiencing some pain. I asked him if I could share this story with you guys this morning. But he had been experiencing some pain and went to the doctor, and he got a diagnosis. And basically the diagnosis said, sorry, you can't serve with the International Mission Board long-term because of this diagnosis. It requires medication that he can't access in the Philippines. And so, man, it was really hard. They came to us and they asked us, you know, as a staff, could you guys pray over us? And just, we're trying to figure out what's next, trying to figure out what we should do. And I tell you, it was heartbreaking. They came to the office and there were tears. There were a lot of tears. And, you know, for a young couple with two kids to weep over the lost opportunity to go and serve the Lord on mission, it was hard. And so we prayed for them, and as they went through this year, you know, they've just sought the Lord. They've asked, you know, God, what do you want from us? We felt like this was it. This was the calling that you had given us, and now we don't know what we're going to do. And as they prayed about that, there was an opportunity that opened up for them to serve on staff with Nehemiah teams, kind of helping to mobilize students to continue to go to the nations. And so Trey's going to step into that role as a mobilizer. But I'm excited because he's also going to be helping us here at Central. One of the things that he shared with me when he first, you know, found out about this role with Nehemiah teams is he said, you know, we're going to be here. There's going to be some travel. But when we're here, we want to serve Central. We want to serve the church. And we want to serve our community. And so we got to dream together, and he's going to be joining our staff as kind of an assistant in our missions area, really helping us to reach out to our community here locally in outreach and in partnership with other ministries. And so I'm excited about that. So why do I share all this? Because here's a family that's among us. As I look at it as an example, here's a family that is living intentionally. They're asking God, what do you want from us? What is the step of faith that you have for us? How do we live that out wisely? How do we make our lives count and take advantage of the opportunities, the moments that you've given us? You know, as we step into 2026, I've got the same question for you. What is it going to look like for you to not waste 2026, but for you to be intentional? For you to say, God, this next year, I want to take the next right step. Help guide me in that. I want to be faithful in that. Not to be more busy, not to pack your schedule with more stuff, not to waste it on things that are worthless, but to be wise. I want to pray that for you this morning. So I'm going to ask you guys, if you would, stand up. I'm going to pray that over you. That as we go into this next year would be a year of intention for you, living for the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for your word and how it guides us. It teaches us that you have purpose in our lives. You have purpose for us to do the things that you desire, the things that are your will. And it's not necessarily doing things that are extreme. It's just doing the things that we know, the things that we know please you. So God, I pray for everyone in this room as they think about this next year, as they consider their plans and they make the plans that they have. God, we know that we make plans in our own hearts, but it's your plans that will prevail. And so God, help us to align our heart with you. Help us to align our plans with you. God, help us to be people of faith that live out the things that you desire. God, give us strength. Help us where we're weak. And God, we pray that we would do all of this so that you would be glorified, so that people's lives would be changed, so that our lives would be lives that matter. God, thank you for that. Thank you that you continue to lead us and guide us, that you counsel us, that you teach us, you walk with us. We love you, Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.